Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
The last two verses that we looked at, verses 10 and 11, had such value, such depth. Paul talks about what it means to know Jesus, that I felt it was good for us to stop for a second and just pause and take a look at those last, the verse 10 and verse 11, again, to make sure that we as a church family get it, at least in some extent, the way Paul got it. So we're going to take some time real quick to look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 and verse 11. Let's take a look together. Verse 10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It's interesting, at this point in Paul's life, it had been roughly about 30 years since he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. For 30 years, Paul had been knowing and learning who Jesus is. He's been getting to know his Savior more and more. And even now, after those 30 years, Paul's desire to want to know Jesus is even stronger than it was before. He just keeps growing and he's like, oh, I want to know Jesus more. And my question is, where does that desire come from? Why does Paul want to know Jesus that much more? And it comes to a basic principle of life, which is this. When you love someone, you want to get to know them deeper. When you love someone, you want to get to know them deeper. It's a natural outflow of love, right? Think about how Jesus knows us intimately. Knows the very hairs of our head, knows everything about us, knows us even better than we know ourselves, right? One of the reasons for His knowledge, intimate knowledge of us, is literally because He loves us. Because He loves us, He knows us. Paul got that. He recognized that. He realized that. And his natural response to how Jesus loved him was that he wanted to love him back. He just wanted to love him back. And to do that, and in order to do that, he wanted to know him more. And that's like us, right? You and I, we see how much Jesus loves us. And our response to that is, Jesus, I love you too. I love you back. And in that, and that love for Jesus flows into a natural desire to want to know him more deeply. The more you see Jesus, the more you see how much Jesus loves you, the more you want to love him back, the more you want to know him more. Right? You get that, right? So here's the question. What does it mean to know Jesus? What does that entail? What does that encompass? It's interesting that in these two verses, we find four specific ways in which you and I can know him more deeply. And we're going to look at it. And it's really interesting because they're all so intricately intertwined with one another. They're very deeply connected. So let's take a look at them. Let's look at the first part, verse 10, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It says that I may know him. The first part is, and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Go back 2,000 years ago. Jesus had finished his sacrifice on the cross for us. For 3 days, his body lay cold in a tomb, lifeless. No breath in his lungs, no beat in his heart, lifeless. And in one instant, his heart starts beating, breath fills his lungs. And in that moment, life starts flowing into the body of Jesus.
The dead body of Jesus bursts with glorious life. The power of resurrected life starts flowing into the body of Jesus. Jesus was alive, right? And that power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the exact same power that raised you up from the dead, that has already raised you up from the dead. And you may be wondering, well, wait a second, Pastor Steve, I'm not dead yet. Right? I haven't died yet. But we're not talking in the aspect of a physical sense, although that will happen. We're also talking about it in a spiritual sense. This is exactly what it means. The power of spiritual life surging in you the very moment you trust Jesus as your Savior. Ephesians 2 describes it in this way. Ephesians 2, we're going to look at a couple of verses, 1 and 2. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, see their connection there? With his great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up. This is past tense. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what was that power that brought us to life? What was that power, that resurrection power that sustains us daily here and now in our lives? And Paul responds to this question in Romans 8 and verse 11. He says this, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the moment of salvation, resurrection power enters into you, giving your dead spirit life. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Resurrection power that lives in us is the power of the Holy Spirit. That powerful spark of life has already started flowing in you the moment you put your faith in Jesus. And it's that same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead that will one day raise your physical body from the dead. It was this life-giving power that Paul had experienced when he met Jesus. It was that moment he let everything go. He stopped trying to be accepted by God because of who he was and what he did, and instead simply trusted in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, who Jesus was and what he did. It's the same for you. It's the same for me, isn't it? You haven't really lived until you've met Jesus. You haven't really lived until you've met Jesus. Love that. The more you know Jesus, the more you experience the power of his resurrected life in you through his Spirit. The power of the resurrection. Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be amazing to know more and more? This is what the gospel is all about, right? Like when we get the gospel, like this is why we learn more about who Jesus is, learn more about what he has done for us on the cross. It's to simply know the gospel in our life a little bit better, a little bit more, so that we understand his resurrection power, the salvation power that he has given to us through his Spirit. Knowing Jesus through the power of his resurrection is but the first step, though. If we go deeper, we will discover that there is much more to knowing Jesus. His power gives us life, and his power sustains us in that life. And although some may be satisfied to be knowing Jesus only in that sense, Paul wanted to go deeper. He wanted to know more.
And so we find in verse 10 a continuation of what it means to know Jesus. Let's keep looking. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The second part of knowing Jesus is the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings. Jesus did not give us the gift of resurrection without having gone through the suffering of the cross in our place. Right? The cross and the empty tomb go hand in hand. It's two things that go together. As a Christian, you will recognize that the power of Jesus in you also goes hand in hand with suffering for him as well. As you love Jesus, and think about why that is. Have you ever thought about why becoming a Christian is inherently involved in suffering for Jesus? If you think about it just for a little bit, as you know Jesus more and more, as you love him and as you pursue him, and as you pursue him and love him, Jesus starts to change your heart, right? He starts changing it, molding it into his own image. And as he changes it, that change starts to reveal itself in the way we think, the way we use our words, our attitudes, even our motives, and the purpose for living. All of these things start changing from the inside and start flowing out of our lives, right? It changes you, and it's going to make you different from those around you. And how those around you respond are different in all kinds of ways, right? Some people may ignore you, and some people may judge you, some may abandon you, some may ridicule you, or maybe even emotionally abuse you, or even physically harm you, right? These are evidences of a changed life, and those who don't know Jesus don't know how to respond to that. And more than likely, they will respond in a negative way because of how you have been changed. This is not anything new. It's been consistent from Paul's day, and has been continually consistent all throughout history. It is nothing unusual for someone to suffer for Jesus. Just as Jesus suffered for our sake on the cross, we also will suffer for his sake as he changes us. This is what Paul says in Philippians 1:29. Earlier in this very same letter, he says, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Right? But it's interesting how Paul says this, though. He doesn't say, you know, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to have to suffer for him. He says it to you in a context of, it is given in the behalf of Christ. It is a gift of grace that Jesus gives you, not just that you get to be saved by him, to believe on him, but also that you have the opportunity, the special gift of grace to suffer for his sake. He's responding to this in a positive way. This is awesome. We get to suffer for Jesus. He sees it as a special gift, an opportunity to know Jesus more. But why is that? What is the aspect of suffering for Jesus, and how does that help me to know Jesus more? We find the answer in Romans 5. Why does suffering help me to know Jesus more? Chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "And not only so, but we glory in our tribulations," or suffering also, "knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Hope. "And hope maketh not ashamed." Why does hope make us not ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See this connection here? Even in the context of suffering, the Holy Spirit is in us, giving us strength, giving us hope. And here's what happens. Here's the thing. Suffering is the catalyst that starts all of this. Suffering. Hey, Nolan, can you go back to verse, 3? suffering works patience. Patience, that's the start. Patience, verse 4, patience brings about experience. Hey, Jesus really does care for me. Hey, he really does bring me through this. An experience of what we've experienced in the past helps us to respond positively to the future. Experience, and then hope. Sometimes we want hope without the experience. Sometimes we want hope without the suffering. Don't make me suffer, Jesus. Let me just have the hope of you coming one day, without recognizing that suffering is the very thing, the very catalyst, which brings about experience and seeing Jesus' goodness in difficult times, and knowing that when those difficult times will come again, I have hope, I have assurance, because of the Holy Spirit who lives in me, sustaining me and helping me to know Jesus more and more because of how he has helped me through my life in the past. Isn't that really interesting? Isn't that so cool? There's more to knowing Jesus. Knowing the resurrection power that he has in me through his Spirit in me. Knowing that I can suffer with him just as Jesus has suffered for me. I get to partake in that suffering, and in doing so, I get to become a partner with Jesus, knowing Jesus more and more deeply. There's more, though. The third way we can know Jesus more deeply is found in verse 10, again, the very end of it. It says this, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, what aspects of him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and thirdly, being made conformable unto his death, being in the same situation, being like him in his death, to be the same condition as his death. And how does that help me to know Jesus more? Well, think about it. Think about what Jesus said to those who follow him. Luke 9:23 tells us what Jesus tells us as we follow him. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, if you're going to pursue me, if you're going to want to know me more, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If there is anything that is a symbol of death, it is the symbol of the cross. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to do what I did. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take my steps after me. Don't go the long way around. You're going to have to take those same steps. And in doing so, you're going to have to do what I did. What did Jesus do the night before the cross? Go back to that night. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is begging and pleading with God, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. There is a point of denying himself, and thy will be done. And following the Lord's will in his life. Jesus was a beautiful example of denying himself and following his Heavenly Father, even in literally taking up his cross of suffering. And this is what he invites us to do. This is literally what he says. He tells us, listen, guys, if you want to know me, if you want to follow me, walk in my steps. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Daily. There's a daily aspect to it. It's a constant walk. It's a constant step by step. Daily taking up your cross. What does that mean to take up your cross? I think it says it really well in a kind of a different direction, not a normal direction we would look at it. But in Hebrews 12, Paul talks about running the race, right? And it's very interesting how we can understand what taking up your cross daily comes into with this passage. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, this is it, denying yourself, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See that taking up your cross, denying yourself, letting go of those things, Verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus. This is, if you're going to follow after me, look at me, watch me, see where I went. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the suffering and the enduring suffering which brings experience and hope and joy, the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. As Jesus endured suffering and as he went through and he took up his cross, denying himself, we see that we also, if we are to follow in the steps of Jesus, we set aside the things that keep us from knowing and walking with Jesus. Isn't that basically what taking up your cross daily means? To be willing to deny the things that you may want and you may enjoy, if those things hinder you, hold you back from following after Jesus? And so we see once again, to know Jesus, to see the power of his resurrection, that joy that it brings up through his spirit, to suffer with him, to die with him, to be like him in his death, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves. And lastly, let's look at the fourth thing. The fourth and final way that we can look at Jesus, which is found in Hebrews 3:11. It says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. To know Jesus is to be like him in his resurrection. In this passage, this is an easy passage to misunderstand because it seems like he's saying, man, I sure hope I get resurrected a little bit, doesn't it? Man, if I do it well, if I live life well, I hope I get resurrected. But that's not necessarily what he's talking about, especially when we understand Paul's confidence, his assurance in his resurrection, and how often he's mentioned the confidence that he has in Jesus to raise him from the dead. More than the context of, I hope I'll be resurrected, since he's already confident of that, the one thing he doesn't know is the situation, the circumstances, or the timing of when it's going to happen. He doesn't know the when, and he doesn't know the how of it. In other words, is he going to be executed by the Roman emperor? He is in prison, right? Facing his trial. And he doesn't know the results of that trial yet. It may be that the Roman emperor decides it's time for you to go, Paul, and sends him straight to his death. At which point, when Jesus comes back, he will be resurrected. His body will rise from the dead, and he will receive his new resurrected body. Or is the Roman emperor going to free him? And is Jesus going to come back at the time while he's still alive? In which case, he won't experience death. He will be changed into his glorious body instantly. Right? He doesn't know the timing. He doesn't know the circumstances behind when he's going to be resurrected. He just knows it's going to happen. But here's the question. How does knowing my resurrection help me to know Jesus more intimately? What's the connection there? He's saying to know Jesus, and he talks about his resurrection of the dead. What's he talking about? And Paul recognized that he would not know Jesus as much as he would want to until that moment he sees Jesus face to face. That moment when Jesus is going to come back just as he promised that he said he would. And that moment when our being is changed into the image of Jesus, when that happens, when that change fully completes, at that point, he's going to know Jesus. John, the apostle, says it this way. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, 1 John 3, 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are now the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We recognize that we're not where we're going to be yet. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Knowing Jesus isn't just about walking with him in the present.
Knowing Jesus is also about walking with him, confidently trusting in him for the future. Having that confidence and the expectation of knowing that one day, when I finally get to see Jesus face to face, that is when I will know him fully. That is when I will know him fully, and I won't let go of that. I won't let go of looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And so because I have my eyes set on the fact that I know I'm not going to be able to know him fully yet, one day I will, and I am going to keep pushing towards that, keep moving towards that, keep denying myself, keeping things that are hindering me from knowing Jesus more fully. And that goal is always on my mind. That goal is always in my future. And I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let things around me keep me from knowing that. That's a great thought, isn't it? Just keep pushing forward. Just keep pressing toward the day when your race is complete, when you finally get to see him. So again, we see four ways in which we get to know Jesus more deeply. To know Jesus is to know the power of his resurrection. To know Jesus is to partake in the fellowship of his suffering. To know Jesus is to be like him in his death. And to know Jesus is to be like him in his resurrection. Let me ask you, how badly do you want to know Jesus? How willing are you to pursue him in these four ways? To experience the power of his resurrection, to suffer with him, to take up your cross daily, and to run with patience, looking forward to the day you also meet Jesus face to face. Let's think about that. Let's not just think about it, let's respond to that in visible, tangible ways that will help us to know him just a little bit more, right? Let's pray. Jesus, what you have done for us is just amazing. The more we think about how you love us, the more our hearts should outflow with love to you. And with that outflow of love should be a natural desire to want to know you more in all aspects of our life. Help us to know you in our resurrection through your Spirit living in us, changing us, molding us. Help us to know you in our suffering, knowing that this suffering brings about a confident, steadfast hope in you and your worthiness of our trust. Help us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to die with you so that we can know you better. Don't let us take our eyes off of the fact that one day we will be changed. And that change will be complete and full. And we will know you more intimately than ever before, because we get to be with you face to face. Help us not to take our eyes off of that. As we live each day, being changed, being conformed into your image, and responding in love for you, and then pursuing to know you just a little bit more each day. In Jesus' name, amen.